What's up? Welcome to episode 3 of the Redline Show with Pacific Exotics. We have a wonderful guest, my good friend Beck, who's sitting to my left just getting his, you know, normal film iPhone photos for the gram. We have a lot of fun stuff to talk about. Usually I would start by asking you a question and starting the story about you, but I had a little bit of a panic attack this morning.
Okay.
And I'm kind of curious if you've maybe had the same experience. So I've done quite a few shoots recently. I haven't done many this year, but this last little bit has been really busy. So I had a photo shoot on the 9th, a photo shoot on the 10th for some cars that are going to bring a trailer. Stay tuned for that. And then I had a shoot on the 14th just for a buddy at a black RX-7. We were just getting rollers in Bremerton. And then I had a shoot on the 16th and then on. So I get on my computer this morning. I'm like, okay, I'm going to move these bring a trailer photos off. I finished exterior photos of one of the Lotuses. I'm going to import all these roller photos. I just want to cull through them real quick this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, I did not get through culling through them this morning because of this issue. I had all the photos on the SD cards except for the one from the 14th. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, did I import them? Because I'm like, I remember importing, or I think I remember formatting the card, which for you guys that aren't photographers, formatting essentially just resets your SD card for your cameras. If you have any photos on that SD card, once you format it, they're all gone. And I was like, I think I've probably formatted my card on the 16th when I went to the hangar in Arlington to shoot more Lotus content. And I'm sitting here like nervous. I like plugged both SD cards in like 5 times, looked through all the SD cards like 5 times over. And I'm like, I cannot find for the life of me the photos from the 14th, the rollers I shot with the RX-7.
Oh,
I'm like texting Travis, freaking out. I'm like, I don't, how do I tell this guy that like I either need to give him back his money that he paid me, or I owe him another photo shoot, or both. I'm like stressing out in my room, don't know what to do. Eventually I lock eyes on the SSD that's on my table. I'm like, wait, I think I might have just moved them over there. I did. So I have them. No sweat. We're good. But the roller coaster of emotions I went through for like what felt like maybe a half an hour, maybe it was only like 15 minutes of like plugging in the same 2 SD cards 5 times. Like, where are they? Travis was like, yeah, I've been there too. I was like, oh, I've never done that. I've never formatted. We're safe. We do have the photos. But for a second there, I was like, I might be screwed.
Yeah, maybe.
Have you ever formatted a whole shoot on accident? I hope not.
I can't say myself I've formatted a shoot. I do have a buddy of mine who, for some reason, his SD card reader or something was really weird. And there would be times where he would like plug in his SD card into his computer through his adapter, and his adapter would like just wipe his SD card. I don't know why. I don't know if it was something where, I don't really know the term, but there's just like that term where, you know, it's almost like if you unplug a hard drive and it can like,
without ejecting it.
Yeah. Without ejecting it, you know, it can like, what, I don't remember what the term is, like corrupt. Is it corrupting?
Yeah.
So it would like corrupt his SD cards. And I remember him and I, went camping in Big Bear, California. This was 4 years ago, but, we went camping and he took a bunch of photos and he was so stoked. And then he got back and then he hits me up like the next day and he's like, bro, my SD card like took a shit and all my photos
all
are gone.
All of them are gone.
All the Big Bear camping trip.
So he was just playing like Russian roulette with that SD card reader.
Yeah.
Like you never know when it's gonna.
Yeah. That's, I think eventually he learned. He figured it out.
I would hope so.
Because like it was something where like his SD card reader was fucked up. So then he just bought another SD card reader and then it did the same thing. And then I eventually just told him like either your SD cards are weird or you just need to like get a, I don't know, I would say try a different computer. I don't really know tech like that.
Or something could be messed up, yeah. Well, before we get into the first question, I want to say thank you to Jack. This is the first episode we've done back here, and he donated a little piece of his leftover car that he no longer has for decoration for the set, and I think it worked out perfectly. I was going to hang the hood on the wall, but I think it actually looks good, kind of just in behind the bumper. I'm kind of toying with maybe the idea of at some point hanging it on the wall, because the whole point of this set was that this is still a usable set. Like, stuff might be moved during some episodes. If friends bring over their shit boxes and we need jack stands, they might be gone. It's not always going to look like this. And this kind of, like, defeats that purpose, because then that space of the desk isn't really usable, and it's more just for looks. So we'll see. We might leave it like that. We'll figure some stuff out. But it added a nice kind of pop of color, and now it's like two broken pieces of cars.
Of Japanese.
Yeah, two broken Japanese
material at this point. I have something coming for the set as well. It's not ready yet. So, but when it comes in, I'll drop it off.
So you sounds can good.
Have it for here.
I'm all for surprise. I don't even know what this is, so yeah. I'm excited. So as far as photos go, if you guys saw the IG stories the other day, this episode's going live on Tuesday. We're recording this on a Thursday. We have pretty much almost exclusively photographed Porsches so far.
Yeah.
All year. Well, I guess except for me, the Lotus is for Bring a Trailer, but as far as your stuff goes, Lotuses, and started off with a really good one that ended up in a freaking magazine. How did that start? How did that come to be?
For the Singer one?
Yeah.
Tina, our friend Tina.
Which, by the way, Tina, if you want to be on a podcast episode, let me know, please, because I would love that. That would be a lot of fun.
She'd be a good guest, for sure. She's got a lot of stories, literally and figuratively. So, yeah. Obviously, Tina writes stories for different magazines, and I just always told her, like, hey, like, I want to photograph one of your stories. I don't care what it is. And so she reached out. She's like, hey, doing a story for Spiel magazine, which is the Porsche Club of America Pacific Northwest region. It's their magazine. So it's like all volunteer. No one gets paid anything. And I mean, it's pretty cool. So she just hit me up. She's like, hey, writing an article, love for you to shoot it. And she kind of like led off like, hey, you know, it's not paid. And I was like, I mean, it's all right. What is it? And then she told me it was The Singer. And I mean, obviously this was last summer. This was like August, but it had just gotten done in like at Singer down in LA. And then it went from Singer to Monterey Car Week. And then after Monterey Car Week, the owner, Bill, drove it up. He drove it back from Monterey Car Week, which is pretty cool. So, it was pretty sick. So she just hit me up, and I'm all for it. And I didn't care that it was free. I don't mind. It's cool.
You
experience.
Love Singers. That's like your...
Yeah. Yeah, your it kind of ties in with the dream car of mine that would never happen.
Mm-hmm.
The Singer interior with like the Gunther Works exterior with an RWB kit on it. I think probably Porsche owners would have an aneurysm hearing me say that, but
they would. Someone out there has to have like a pocket of a couple million, like money burning a hole in their pocket that would do that. I feel like someone needs to do that before
someone's got the money that needs to happen.
Before Nakai passes, before Gunther Works goes out of business, before Singer goes out, like, please. I would love for that to happen. Yeah. I doubt it ever would, cuz
it'd be lawsuits. I feel like there's probably something in like the paperwork to where, like, especially like with Singer and probably Gunther Works. I don't know about RWB, because I've heard of RWBs getting sold and then like being redone and all that stuff. So like, I don't think there's anything in writing for modifying RWBs, but I think Singers and probably Gunther Works would probably have an issue with that legally. It's probably in a contract somewhere. I don't know, but.
Mm-hmm. What exactly, because I don't really know Gunther Works very well, and you know them. What do they really do? Like, I just see Gunther Works as, like, carbon-bodied Porsches, but I imagine
they
do.
They have made
that.
some colored Porsches as well. I saw one at Cars and Copters down in Huntington Beach back in, like, 2019. They had the all-carbon one with, like, the blue trim, and then they had, like, a red one. Like, no carbon, it was
just
red.
I saw, like, an older red one in Monterey Car Week on a 17-mile. It was a little older. It didn't have a roof.
Oh, the one I saw had a roof. Okay. So I don't know. I don't know if they do like Targa stuff. I don't know.
It might have been a convertible just with the top down. I don't think it was a Targa.
Yeah. I can't. So, but. I don't know. I would say, going back to your question, for Gunther Works, I don't know what all they do. I know that they do some performance stuff as well, but they just look so good. It's like the I love the details of the headlights and the taillights. I love all the exposed carbon stuff that they do. I know Magnus Walker just did, like, released a video of one of their new ones. I just haven't watched it yet, but it looks sick.
Have you? That's right. You did print some of those Singer photos.
Mm-hmm.
How did they look on print? I imagine that was something else. Seeing those come out of the printer.
Yeah, they look pretty sharp. I mean, that was like one of the first big shoots, I would say. Probably like my biggest shoot with the Leica so far. But I mean, like the resolution on that thing's so good that, like the rollers, if I had a sharp roller, it was tack sharp, and quite a few of the photos were rollers and they were pretty good. And, yeah, they didn't look bad. I liked them.
I forgot that was full Leica, right? You didn't do anything with the Sony?
I did a couple. I still had my Sony, and I had my 90mm macro lens that, I mean, it can be used for other shit. It doesn't have to be macro, but, I used it a couple times just to kind of get further away and, you know, have that zoom and like that depth of field and everything. Cause we were in Woodinville at the winery. So, just like shooting down that road with the trees, and like that compression of the 90mm, like wide open at 2.8 was nice. So
gorgeous spot for that car.
Yeah.
It worked so well.
Yeah, for sure.
From those photos. Yeah. You sure didn't have your 24-70. I have it.
Yeah.
Thanks. Great lens. I've been using that one so much that I kind of like forgot about my 70-200, and I shot another, but I've shot two black FDRX7s like back to back recently, and I shot another one. I don't know if you know the spot down in Manchester where the Camel is.
Okay.
That's where I shot one of them, and I was like, you know what? I need to break out the 70-200.
Yeah.
And I threw it on there. I'm like, I forgot how good this is.
It is a really good lens. I've never personally used one. I had a 100-400, but it didn't have that ability to open up the aperture to 2.8. Yeah.
Yeah. But I need to fix the seal on mine. It's a little shaky.
Which seal?
On the 70-200. You can like kind of wiggle it a little bit on the end. Like, I don't think it's supposed to do this. But yeah, one thing I do want to, going back to photo printing, because I want to head over to Brandon's at some point in the near future and do some printing for another car that both of us recently shot, the RWB. That was a local build. We had the opportunity to both shoot that. Was that on a Sunday? It was a Sunday after the build.
It was.
And that thing had a road presence that was, like, it looked good inside. And then you brought it outside, and it was like a whole nother car.
Yeah, it definitely insane. Looked a lot different when the sunlight hit it, like when that sun peeked through the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that thing looked good. And, I mean, Simon and his dad, like, spec'd that car out very well.
So you saw, because you had the media pass, so you were there on Friday, because that was the day one.
Yep.
I was not there on Friday. How was that different from Saturday?
Because
most people were there on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday's the day to go for any public RWB build, for sure. The second day is definitely, like, the day, because, like, that's the day you get to see the car completely put together. I feel like it's weird. Like, I feel like they both have, like, their payoffs. Like, day one is Nakai stripping the car down. So, like, when I walked in the car, it was literally just, like a stock 993 just, like, sitting there. Nothing was really done to it. Like, you could just drive it right out of the museum if you wanted to. And then, like, you know, eventually they move it over, and then they get it up on jack stands, and then, you know, then the Kai comes in and he just goes to work. So, but I just feel like they have their payoffs, because day one, you see that car get broken down, which is like, just, it's hard to like describe. You just have to see it in person. Like, it's just one of those like mesmerizing things to just see him rip apart a Porsche. And obviously it's heartbreaking to see, but like, you know what it's going to come to. So, but day one, a lot of stuff happened. So like, a lot of the kit went on. Like, he had the whole kit on Friday, and then Saturday is more of like his like more detail stuff. So it's like when you're there as a viewer, it's kind of just like, all right, like, yeah, he's doing this underneath the car. Like he's like rewiring stuff back together. You know, he's getting the headlights working, taillights, fog lights, whatever. So he's putting all that stuff back together. So it's like kind of like boring, I guess. I don't know, unless you like watching people wire stuff, but you get to see the iconic spray paint of the tires, the spray paint of the front lip, and then you get to see the banner, and like the banner is like, that's the cap. Like I have chills right now, mm-hmm. just talking about it, you know, cause you know, you watch him put that thing on, and then as soon as it's tore off, there's always the handshake. And then
I was going to say the photo you got of that handshake over the banner is just,
yeah. Yeah. I'm glad I got so to get that. I felt really bad because there was a lot of people, like everyone, that's the shot to get is mm-hmm. the front shot of Nakai shaking the owner's hand with the banner done. But I don't know. I mean, I just like, at the same time, I had the media pass and they didn't. And I know that it exactly. sounds mean to say, but it's just no, like,
yeah.
I'm there to capture that event. And like, mm-hmm. I want to get the angles that I can. And, you know, if anyone listens to this and you were behind me, I'm sorry, but.
Yeah, but it's also, I mean, there were a couple moments there too, where I was like, I want to get this picture right now, but I also see like 3 people down there with media passes and 70 people around me who have a better angle than me. I'm just going to put my phone down and like enjoy this and take it in.
Yeah. Sometimes that's definitely, you just have to do that. It's definitely an event that if you can't get your phone, like it's cool to, you know, record mm-hmm. like the key moments, but like just watching Nakai work, man, is like, mm-hmm. it's just one of a kind.
It was weird. I was actually talking to Brandon about it afterwards and I was like, I liked RWBs before.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you get a sense of appreciation and maybe more so when you're also some sort of artist or creator yourself. I don't know. Maybe I can't speak on that if you're not, because I am. But like
mm-hmm.
seeing someone go through the process of like doing it and then like seeing the vision through and then seeing the end product. And like, damn, like you made this.
Mm-hmm.
That's really freaking cool.
In 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just one of those where everyone will look at it as in like, you know, this guy's just putting on a kit, whatever. But like, if you haven't seen one in person, you don't truly understand that he's going all off memory. Like he has no books to read off of. He has nothing to go off of, but his brain. Mm-hmm. And like, I looked it up, and as of like 2023, as of last year, he's built 1300 RWBs and he started in 97. So, like, he's been doing RWBs for 27 years.
It's been that long?
27 wow. years. He started RWB in 97. So, he's been doing them for 27 years. And when you do the math, he, like, you know, doing, like, just doing the, you know, the like, the whole division
mm-hmm.
of it. Like, he's done, it was, like, 48 to 50 a year. And there's 52 weeks in a year. So, mm-hmm. like, he does about one
roughly
a week.
Roughly one a week. Yeah.
And, like, he, and that's excluding the 2 years of COVID that he couldn't travel.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I think that's, like, insane. So, I mean, if you take the 2 years out, I know he did some stuff, like, in Japan because he couldn't go anywhere. But a lot of, like, no one else could really travel to him. So, it was, like, he was only doing, like, builds in Japan like for Japanese RWBs, I think. But he also put together that 997 kit. Mm-hmm. That's when he like built that kit together or put that together. So yeah, I don't know, he averages probably, you know, 50 a year that he's done it. And like talking to him at the build, he said that in all of 2024 he's going to be in Japan for 4 weeks throughout the whole year. And that's split up in between builds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, he's just all over the world.
For 4 weeks out of
the whole year.
The 52 weeks in a year.
Yeah.
This is wild. Yeah, I didn't realize till Travis even told me, just because I don't really know that much about him. He was like, yeah, none of this is measured. It's all like,
it's all eyeballed.
Eyeballed. And
it's perfect.
And I was like, oh. And he told me that like near the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was watching him like drill this holes for the wing, the rear wing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, after knowing that and watching him do that, just like grabbing a piece, bzz, I'm yeah. like, how do you know that's gonna
Dude, I even had day one
no way to comprehend that
day one when he was putting on the fenders. he was putting on the flares, and like his normal process is he puts his fender up, he drills the holes, and then, or no, he puts the fender up. I think he drills like a couple holes just to kind of get the mark. And then he only does that to kind of just hold it up so he can tape around the fender. And then he'll take the fender off, and then he'll cut the old fender. That's like his mm-hmm. his thing.
Little template.
Right, yeah, he makes like his little template. And he was on the left rear fender, and I'll literally never forget this for the rest of my life. He put the fender up, he drilled his holes, made his marks, whatever. Like he didn't tape, right? He drilled it in, he drills it off, pulls the fender off, and then they were like, "Hey man, like you didn't put tape on the car." So he just grabs his roll of tape and eyeballs it. He literally the fender on there. No fender. He puts the tape up, he makes his curve and everything, and then he just cuts it, and it worked. Like, works just
like
fine.
He probably didn't need to put the tape. He probably just put the tape on there because someone said.
Yeah, or just makes it easier because normally yeah. whenever he does a cut or whenever he cuts the fenders, he'll have the owner of the car cut fenders too. Like, either he'll cut like 75% of the fender and then the owner will cut like the last 25. So I think like Simon cut one. I don't think Doug cut one.
Was Doug his dad?
Yeah, Doug is his dad. I don't think Doug cut one. I can't remember. But I know like Simon cut the end of one and maybe the whole one of another one. But yeah, watching him do everything just off memory, like it is wild. Insane. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to print some of those, and then I'd like to send one down to Simon because he was such a cool kid.
Yeah, kid.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it helped that we like related to him so well because he's our age.
Yeah,
which
I mean,
was so cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah, I think he was like 23.
Was he really that young?
I think he's 23. Wow. From what I heard, don't quote me on it, but
yeah.
He's younger than me for sure. Mm. I'm 27, so yeah. But yeah, super cool dude. And I'm glad. Hopefully, like we stay in touch. He wants to come back up, and he wants to do
Rainier.
Yeah, he wants to take it around Rainier.
That would be so much fun.
Yeah, that's so much fun. Yeah, I want to make sure I capture that too. That would be sick.
Hopefully my Audi is running by then. Yeah. It should be. It should be.
Dude, hopefully the Porsche can run too. I know it has like some issues.
Well, he said that was the only other thing. I was like, do you have any other power mods or like any special things? And he was like, no, I kind of just want to keep it stock and get like some maintenance things done to it.
Yeah. Like, oh,
yeah. I mean, they're great stock. They don't need.
No, it's a show car.
Really anything.
I mean, it is a show car. I mean, unless you're in Japan, they race those in Japan. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what was like Nakai's vision because he used to race cars before he built them.
Yeah.
And so like that was his vision was like, you know, how do I throw a wide body kit on a Porsche that can still like run laps, you know? Obviously, it's not the most aerodynamic, you know, it doesn't have all the cuts, you know, for all that stuff. But I mean, it looks good. And yeah, like I said, if you go over to Japan, like they run them on tracks against each other, which is nuts. And I only know one person that's done it here, and that was Bong. Bong had a 964 RWB, and I mean, he'd take it out to the ridge on track days.
Really?
Yeah, he'd track it. Yeah, and that was like, I respected that because I was like that's what Nakai would do. That's what Nakai wants, you know? I mean, obviously, he's not going to shame anybody that doesn't. But yeah, seeing an RWB on a track is like a whole nother level. Yeah.
He doesn't have that RWB anymore, does he?
No, he sold it. I don't know where it's. I think it's cross country now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you know what the? Because I know it's like the front bumper, the front lip, on all of them. That they say something else, but they're clearly not English. Do you know what they mean?
So everything on the car is German.
Okay.
Since it's a German car, so like Rahwelt Begriff. Is rough world concept, at least from what I know. The front spray, it's something about
I
like.
Remember what it said. I
wonder say
if
it's
I can
like,
look this up.
You can
on
look
Translate.
It up. I want to say it means like second production. If I remember correctly, you can probably look it up on Google.
We're looking it up right now. Let's see.
Like front lip spray paint. I want to say it means like second production.
Second development.
Second development.
Pretty close.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
He literally rebirths the Porsche. Like it is a rebirth Porsche. Mm-hmm. It looks nothing like it did before. So
yeah, I guess the last number five, I think it said the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Normally all of them say it. That's one of the iconic sprays that he does. You know, it's like the wheels. He does the idlers spray on the wheels, and then he'll spray that on the front.
That light blue one is no longer, that one's not in Washington anymore, is it?
Brian's?
Yeah.
I think he still has it.
It is? Yeah. Okay.
And he just bought Tim's too. The guy, Tim Walbridge, he owns 503 Motoring. Yep. Yeah, down in Beaverton. He bought his, and Tim's was super nice. And yeah, I loved Tim's. That was the first build I ever went to.
I wish I had more time to say hi to Tim, because I follow him on socials, and he seems like such a cool guy.
Very
and
cool,
I, like,
dude.
I said it because he had like posted an Instagram story about his cat like a couple days prior, and I responded and like sent him a picture of my cat, and he responded, and then I saw him in person. I was like, oh, what's up? And then I don't even remember what happened. He was looking for a garbage can or something for a can, and then we never walked back and crossed paths again. But
Tim is very cool.
He seems like such a cool dude.
He's very funny. Tim and Joe. Joe is the other RWB owner in Portland, the blue one that was up there, the 993.
Dark blue.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe owns that one. But yeah, Tim is very funny. Obviously, like I don't drink, and I mean, you know, we're all grown ups, you know, some of us have drinks. Mm-hmm. Whatever. And I mean, like, they had alcohol at the build. They had a little bar there. And I remember, like, one time Tim and Joe were sitting there, and we just got to talking, and Tim was like, hey, I need to go back to the bar because there's something wrong with their cups. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, they keep leaking.
It keeps empty.
And I was like, what? He was like, yeah, they just keep leaking. And it finally, like, hit me, like, he's had his beer, he wants another one, you know?
Yeah.
Which was hilarious to me, you know? And then he got back, and I was like, hey, fix your cup. He's like, yep, I fixed them, they're good. It was pretty funny.
It might be broken again in, like, 10 minutes from now, but we'll see. Yeah, that was cool. So that car, for those of you who are in Washington and do still want to see it, it is still at the Car Museum, and it's going to be there, I think they said, for about a year?
I know it's going to be stored there for about a year. Yeah. At least, or until like Simon makes up his mind, because he just moved to Texas. So like I think he's trying to figure out if he wants to stay there or come back up and stay here.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be stored there. Will it be on display for the whole year? I have
well,
no idea.
Whether
but it's on
it's,
display now.
Whether it's on display upstairs or not, it'll be visible. Because even the storage downstairs, you can still see. So if you do want to see it, if it's not on display upstairs, it'll probably be in Club Auto storage.
Yeah.
Downstairs. So I imagine they'll display that for quite some time. Like, you don't, especially for the Japanese exhibit.
Yeah, it's up front.
Yeah.
It's as soon as you walk in the doors, it's to the left in the lobby.
And
it's sitting right there.
I really want to go see that exhibit. I'm kind of bummed I wasn't able to make it.
I mean, dude, let's go. I haven't been. I want to go see it.
We should.
Yeah.
Fucking, I'm doing Supercross on Saturday.
I work this weekend anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Of course you are. We do got a plan of time, because it looked like they had a good event there. Opening was on Friday, I think, was the whole...
Yeah, the 15th?
They had quite a few NSXs on there. I think, is that Kai's Corolla?
Yeah, Kai's Hachi's there.
I didn't know that was going.
Yeah.
He was there at the RWB build. We spoke to him. He never mentioned that was going to be there. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that was there. The 2000 GT's there.
That thing's...
Yeah.
Gorgeous. The 2000 GT's. I didn't realize, because we were there, and they had all of the cars draped
undercover,
as they do before a regular exhibit. And I was walking out of the museum at one point just to go see the other RWB on the front lot. And I, like, had to do a double take. I was like, is that? That's a 2000 GT.
Yeah.
And then I see the pictures on IG. They had, like, moved all the cars and gave it, like, its own display. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that is cool. I really want to see that.
Yeah, it was, like, in the middle of the way, kind of, during the build.
Yeah.
But, like, I got there the first day, and I was just talking to one of the employees there, and he was like, hey, look what just rolled in this morning for the new exhibit. And I was like, okay, yeah, let's go look. And I was like, whoa. Okay. Yeah,
that's something else.
Yeah.
I've only ever seen one other in my life.
Yeah, the Brothers Collection.
Yep,
yeah.
Same one. Yep.
Yeah, the blue one.
Which was also really cool to see in person. They're so small.
Yeah, they're very small.
I looked up the size comparison to a Miata.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually a little bit more narrow. And I think
I
just
see
a
that.
Tad shorter. They're pretty much the same all around, but
yeah,
it's wild.
Value.
Yeah, yeah, and then
in production,
and then you sit so much further back than a Miata too. Like, I think you're a little.
It's got a long roof.
It does,
or
has
long
a longer hood.
Hood.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's cool, because the Porsche exhibit, I love the museum, but there's like certain things here and there that I'm like, I wish they could just do this a little bit better. More out of love. Because the Porsche exhibit, they invited me out to their media day. They have a day before the big
reveal.
For like news and media to show up and get their pictures. And I got invited out to the one for the Porsche exhibit. And the cars didn't really move for the most part. Like they were just all there, kind of how they were for the Japanese exhibit, where they were under wraps was where they were at the end of the show. I think they ended up getting one of Roger Jobs, like 3 hours there later after he got it. It just wasn't ready for the first exhibit. But for the most part, they just stayed how they were. So that's kind of what I assumed the Japanese exhibit would be.
No, they shut that whole thing around.
And then I was so excited to see that they, and then they had like a band of some sort.
Yeah, I think they had some sort of like traditional Japanese demonstrate like music type of deal. You know, I mean, there's obviously different cultures that do different things, and I think that's just like a traditional Japanese thing that they do. Yeah, it looked pretty cool. I think they shifted it around because they cut off that whole corner for the build.
Yeah,
and so they had more real estate to work with.
More room to work around. Yeah, it's cool to see them adding more elements to the exhibit rather than just cars. Like have this display for the 2000 GT to show like how it would look there, and then add more pieces of the culture rather than just the cars.
Yeah.
It looks cool. There's a couple local cars. There's that green wide body Supra.
Okay, yeah.
Which actually, I'm not going to speak about because I don't want to get in trouble. nothing bad. I love that car. But there may be news about that car after it leaves the exhibit with us. I should stop talking.
Yeah. yeah. Next car.
Yeah, next car. the new R34 that was recently, was that Brian's as well? It was posted on the Fantasy Colors account.
It must have been.
And I think that's the same one that's there, because I think they were posting stories about it going there too.
Yeah.
Because he like just recently picked that up.
Yeah. I don't know what all cars Brian has. I know Brian's got a nice collection, but I know like he has his Fantasy Colors stuff, you know, and I wouldn't be surprised if there was like cars that had work done at Fantasy Colors. And he was like, hey, you know, like LeMay's interested in this. So, yeah, who knows? But if he did buy that R34, the black one?
Yeah.
The black?
Yeah, I think it was black, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know if he bought that or not, but yeah, that was there. That blue Mark IV Supra is really cool. I don't know if you saw that one there or not.
I don't think I did.
It was kind of like for the build, if you were walking towards the build, it was like on the right.
Oh, yes, yep.
I can't remember the Instagram handle of the girl that owns it. It's a girl. I can't think of it. It's like Touché Z.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's been a local car for quite a few years now. Yeah, because I recognize the name. I know Susan the SI, the name of the car is there. I think that's the second time it's been in the museum. I think it was there for the tuner exhibit. I could be wrong.
I didn't go to that one.
But so. I know I photographed that car before, and I don't remember how I met her, but I think it was from that.
Yeah, I've met her one time. She's super nice, and her name's not Susan. That's just the car name.
Which got really confusing.
Yeah, because I was like, are you Susan? She's like, no, that's just the car. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I talked to her at, I think it was like Springfest, probably like a year ago, maybe two years ago, when I was shooting those events and stuff. And yeah, she's super, super nice, super sweet. But yeah, I like them. I'm not really much of like a Honda person, but I think she did that build really well.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool elements to that. And, I mean, there's even more cars than just the ones that we rattled off.
Yeah.
Because we haven't seen it yet, I know.
yeah, we got to go back.
Yeah, there is the new, what I really want to see in person, because I freaking love it, the new Acura NSX Type S.
Oh.
We were actually...
They have it there?
Yeah, the orange one. It was there during the RWB build, too.
Oh,
it was uncovered. Actually, it might have been covered up. I don't know. But my dad and I were on the way to the Avance like off-road event at Porsche Linwood, or Seattle North, as it's called.
Yeah.
And we cruised like the entire way there with this orange NSX Type S. I was like, this is sweet. And I recognized the license plate frame. And it is the same one that's at LeMay now. So that's pretty cool. Sick.
Did you see Brandon's video about the NSX? Did you watch that at all?
I think I saw the little clip of
the
it.
The garage video? Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I remember seeing the clip where he was like, oh, we're all green for the earth. And then he was like, fuck the earth. Yeah. And turned the knob over and turned it off of hybrid mode.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was a great video. I think they did a really good job kind of explaining the NSX. Because, like, I like the older NSXs.
Mm-hmm.
I also prefer, even though it's, like, it's built the same, just a different emblem, I prefer Acura NSXs over Honda NSXs. And that's just me. I think my, my bias was my mom worked at an Acura dealership when I was younger, like second grade to fourth grade-ish. She worked at an Acura dealership, and they had a couple, like, older Acura NSXs come in, and I think that was just like, okay, that's cool. And then, you know, seeing Honda, obviously, you know, Acura's owned by Honda, made by Honda, whatever, but I don't know. I know it's just an emblem, but I think my soft spot's more for the Acura than the Honda.
Was it just like the country of where that car was sold? Like, I
don't know.
I think we just got Acuras and like Japan got Hondas. They were just rebadged for different countries.
I don't know the story behind that.
Yeah, I could be wrong, but
I mean, it's literally, I mean, if you literally just pinch the top of the Honda logo, you got the Acura logo. So I know that.
I guess you do.
I'm pretty sure they're owned by Honda.
Yeah.
Something. I don't know.
It's like a Nissan and who else do they own? I feel like Nissan owns someone. Infiniti.
Mm.
Yeah. But even that, that's
Toyota,
like
Toyota, Lexus.
Yeah. Even them, they're like different body panels. Whereas like the Honda and Acura was literally just the badge, as far as I know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know the difference. I don't know. I don't know them like that well.
Yeah.
I love the appeal of them though.
Yeah, that NSX is that one. That one was Dave's, right? The white one that he was driving. I think, I don't know. It's a local Race Exotics.
Oh yeah, member. I don't know. I don't know the owner.
Dude, we walked in there because I worked on trying to still figure out my misfire problem, and we swapped coil packs at Brandon's garage, and I was just like telling Dad, I'm like, come inside, like, come look in the garage, because it's freaking cool.
Yeah.
Like, while we're here. And it was in there. I think Isaac was fixing a part on it. And it took us a while to figure out, like, what was wrong, because, like, the front fender was off, but the headlight was there, but there was a hole, like, through the headlight.
Mm.
Like, some rock, like, shot up through it, unfortunately. I was like, this doesn't look like a wreck. Because it looks targeted, almost. But that, it's wild. It was wild to, like, walk in there, like, just this shop like in Port Orchard and NSX, like a 2013 Camaro, nothing, like a classic.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side it has Kai's 992 GT3.
Yeah. Like, is the Mustang still there? Wasn't there a Mustang?
Are
they working on a Mustang?
I think Chris's Mustang. Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know if it's still in there, but that's gonna be cool. They've been working on that one for a while.
Yeah.
And then Scott's Noble, I think, should hopefully be running soon, knock on wood. We'll see. Yeah. There will probably be another problem with it.
Yeah, I listened to the podcast you did with him, and I hope he can take that down to Monterey. Like, he can drive it down.
Yeah.
Where was he planning on driving it down?
We'll see.
Obviously,
Yeah, I hope so.
That'd be cool.
He also texted me. So I ended up, after that podcast ended, I was like, I have an odd question for you. Can I pick Bradley up from school in your Corvette?
Because it's
literally right down. It's like
walking
distance down the road whenever I go on my, as Travis and I like to call them, hot girl walks.
Hot girl walks, yeah.
I walk to the school and back, and there's no speed bumps, no nothing. Like, if you wanted to pick up your little brother in a fancy car, it's perfect for it.
Yeah.
And we couldn't do it that day. He was busy, and I think the weather was also just meh. And it was too late at that point to pick him up. But I did it not too long ago. And having a Miata before, like, I love convertibles. And now not having a convertible and then being put into another convertible, I'm like, I realize how much I miss having a convertible. And I texted him as soon as as we swapped cars back. I was like, I need a convertible again.
Yeah.
And then he texted me back. He's like, I'm looking at a Lotus next week. Do you want to come with me? I'm like, God damn it.
So there's he's been trying to drag you into the Lotus world.
I'm trying to drag myself into the Lotus world. There's
not a bad world to get into. No.
So there's a rebuilt Title Elise, as a lot of them are, because they're so fragile. Like, you get a little paint chip on them and suddenly it's salvage. But it's listed for $30,000. I don't know what day he's looking at it this week. If it's even happening this week, I think he's going down to Factory 5 right now. Mm. So clearly that didn't happen. But yeah, he was like, "Do you want to come with me to look at it?" I'm like, "Yes, yes, and yes, please." There will be a Lotus in my future. Probably not a rebuilt Lotus. I was just like, if you're inviting me to come look at a Lotus,
at least you can get your eyes on like a rebuilt Lotus. I mean, you know,
and he knows what to look at too.
Yeah, so. Yeah, no, for sure. But like, obviously, you hear that nasty word rebuilt, and everyone, you know, it either like loses the value, depreciates, whatever you want to call it. But like, some of them, like you said, you know, you have a small thing that, you know, for some reason they count it as a loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you have to slap that rebuilt name on it.
Yeah.
I mean, second chance, you know?
Yeah, and if it's, like, retitled and everything's good and you can get it insured, like, it's already lost all that value anyway. Like, you're not losing more after you sell it because it's already tanked.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing if you bought it clean and then had something happen and now it's salvaged and you want to sell it later, but it's already went through that full depreciation.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you get it, like, another question is, like, how long would you keep it? Because if you keep it for a long time and you don't plan on selling it soon, then, like, as long as it runs, you know, and there's no major issue, like, that rebuild's kind of just like a...
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter if it's going to stay here, you know?
Yeah, unlike the Audi. We'll see, man. I want that thing to run. I don't know. I'm working on selling someone a house, and then I'm going to just... After that happens, I'm just going to give the car to Joey the mechanic and...
Yeah, Joey the mechanic.
Just fix everything.
Yeah.
It needs new bushings all the way around, which I think I've told you before.
I don't think you told me, but Travis has given me...
The rundown. Yeah. So it needs new bushings all the way around, which is a $2,000 job within itself.
Yep.
Which makes sense. It's at 100,000 miles. I just recently crossed 100,000.
Mm.
And... That's when bushings go bad. So I was like, you know what? Fair. Yeah. At that point, you're doing control arms too.
Yeah.
Whoever installed the rear passenger lowering spring installed it upside down.
Oh.
Like, I don't know how you do that. So I was listening to the guy at the shop tell me this, and I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I'll just jack the car up at my house, you know?
You have to play it off. Like, that was the last guy.
Yeah, well, no.
It's like you come out of the bathroom and it smells terrible, and there's a line, and you're like, it smelled like that before.
when your mechanic is like, whoever installed this did a bad job, and it was you.
Yeah.
No, but I was like, okay, that's fine. Like, whatever. I don't know why he did that. I'll just go home, jack the car up, swap it, turn it around. He was like, no, you got to drop the whole subframe, the rear subframe. And I was like, of course you do, because why wouldn't you have to do that with an Audi?
So I'm
like,
I appreciate Audis, but at the same time, I don't know if I could see myself owning one, because I have heard that they're not fun to work on.
Yeah. I mean, even so, like, we're going to redo all the injectors. So I think injector 6 is failing, which is what's causing the problems.
Mm-hmm. The misfires and stuff?
Yeah. So it would, like, basically under load, it would detect the misfire and just completely disable cylinder 6.
Mm-hmm.
Travis let me borrow his little Volkswagen chip reader.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd have it plugged in, and then if it ever happened on the freeway, I would just clear the code on the freeway. So I just got to the point where I left the chip reader in, because there was a couple moments on my way to Seattle where I'm, like, reaching under the dash on I-5 going 70, like, trying to put the chip reader in the car. I did it.
Dude, 70 on I-5 is crazy. I'm normally going, like, 50 because people can't drive here.
Can your Corolla make it to 70 on I-5?
Yeah, if it's going, like, downhill. Like, coming off the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. Oh, that's on the 16, I guess. But,
yeah,
I don't know.
Dude,
it'll eventually make it to 70, yeah.
Yeah. Give it a couple business days. But, I was like, okay, so, like, injectors is surely, like, it's not that hard to deal with. And then Joey was like, no, you got to do this, this, this. And I was like, kind of forgot that the supercharger's in the way. Like, you have to take that off, take, like, few lines off. I don't remember everything, but it was like, and then there's a specialty tool to take the injector out. Like, of course there is.
Yeah.
You know, why
would Audi things.
So it needs that. There's some sort of transmission gasket it needs soon too, which was like also just getting near the time that it needed to be replaced at this many miles. It wasn't due to like horrible ownership. Yeah. But that gasket was like nearly a $2,000 job too.
God damn.
Crazy. I assume a lot of that is just labor because it's an auto trans.
Yeah.
And I've heard that those are a lot harder to deal with than manuals. But in the entire emotional roller coaster of the car, as I've talked to Joey, he's like, just this mileage is when they get expensive. And that's why most people sell them. After I put that money into it and get everything fixed, it'll be fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's the payoff is worth it. Then.
It's just a bunch of routine maintenance. And also just happens that I have one failing injector same time, which is like, it's just like, oh, another thing to throw in there, which is kind of a bummer. But after I do that, it'll be fine. And who knows, like, I might only have the car for another 3 to 5 years anyway.
Yeah.
I don't see it as something that I keep long-term forever. Car. Yeah.
Same with the Corolla. I don't think I'm going to hang on to that too long.
Do you have any ideas of what comes after that?
I wouldn't mind a GR if the prices came down. I went to the Seattle International Auto Show this past year, and I sat in a GR86, and I really like those. But I just don't know if I see myself like driving a coupe like that. You know what I mean? Not that I need
the same way.
Four doors, but I would like a four seater. Just have like a little extra room, especially with the dog.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know. I would say GR. I wouldn't mind like a Mark 8 GTI.
Yeah.
I really like those.
They're good. They look really
good. They're done really well, unless they're at Springfest. Sorry, guy.
did Travis tell you how I was like talking to him about Springfest before we went?
Yeah.
It's funny because we went to Lake Washington Cars and Coffee, and I was like, and the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Maybe I'll just keep talking and like maybe we'll walk through Lake Washington Cars and Coffee. It was packed.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Like,
it was perfect for it.
Yeah.
And then Neri was there and I'm like, oh, we met Neri. And I asked him, I was like, are you going to Springfest? He's like, no. I'm like, why? And he was like, I'm not paying $20 to go see some shit boxes. And I looked at Travis and I'm like, that's what I thought.
To be fair, there were some cool cars there.
Yeah.
I think I just have like a soft spot for the Stance Wars world because that's what like really got me into cars. Like growing up, I liked cars a lot.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those like you just like looking at them, you think they're cool. You know, you don't know anything about them. But then when I got stationed out here the first time, my buddy Chris, he liked that type of, you know, car culture, whatever you want to call it. And we got out here in like May of 2016, and he was like, hey, like Stance Wars, like they're based out of here, they're doing Seattle. And I was like, the fuck is that? And he was like, oh, it's this. And at first I was just like, like don't care that much for that type of stuff. And then we went and like saw good things, but I mean, dude, that was like that was such a good era for stanced cars, though. I will say that. Like 2016 to like 2018 was such a good era. There's such good builds there. And then it's like I leave to go to San Diego, so stationed down there. And then I came back up and like some of the cars are the same. You know, it's like I show up and
like nothing's changed.
Yeah. And I'm not going to like name anybody, but you know, you go up to the top floor for top 100 for Stance Wars Seattle, and I'm just like, yep, I remember that one. Yep, that one looks the same. And
it's like someone copy-pasted last year's.
Yeah, well, not even. They didn't even, like, change anything. It's not like Mike didn't change top 100 because he does go through and, like, approve which one he wants. Like, he will go through and look everything. But, I mean, like, dude, I remember 2018. I want to say 2017 or 2018. Stance Wars Seattle. Dude, like, it was so cool. We were there. Fantasy Colors brings up a wide body 4.58.
Is that the gray one?
The gray Liberty Walk Spider. 4.58 Spider. Yeah. Yep. They brought up the white Liberty Walk NSX, the first one that was done by JJ Dubeck up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That one was there. And then they had something else. And then, like, out of nowhere, here comes Bong in his red RWB, Christian in his blue RWB, and Pauline in her black RWB. They roll up, and, like, they're fashionably late on purpose, and I don't blame them because, like, they're going to steal the show. I mean, like, when they came up through the parking garage, it was a mob around them. It was like you had to clear a path. It was like old, like, Stage B rally videos you see where people are, like, running on the road and shit.
Yeah.
It was like that in the parking garage, dude. And they rolled up, and I was like, yo, like, this is cool. Like, three RWBs here. Like, that's sick. And they're like, no. And I was like, what? They're like, look over the ledge. Because, like, you look over the ledge at Bellevue College, you know, like, where Mike had his stage set up at, you know. Mm-hmm. So I go over and look over the ledge, and there's six more from Canada that came down.
I feel like I vaguely remember this.
So there was
seeing,
like,
this on Instagram.
There was like nine RWBs there. And, like, for some people, just seeing an RWB in person is like, I mean, it could be life changing, you know. It's something that you don't just see every day because, you know, they have such value, and, you know, one, they cost a lot to insure. So it's like no one really drives them a lot. You know, Bong was the one that I knew that drove his the most. But, like, dude, to show up and, like, see nine RWBs at one place, like, the only other place that I've ever seen nine RWBs that was on my phone was at, like, a private RWB build when, like, a bunch of owners show up and they all bring theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, to see nine in one place, I was like, okay, like, this is tight. And then, yeah, I don't know if, like, COVID messed stuff up or what, but, like, coming back, I mean, don't get me wrong, Stance Wars is still not a bad show. Like, Stance Wars Seattle. But it's just not the same, you know? And, I mean, obviously, you know, people grow up, you know, times change, people leave, they do things, whatever, buy new cars, sell other ones.
People have kids.
Yeah, kids. Yeah, start a family. So, I mean, like, yeah, do I expect it to be crazy? Like, not really, but, like, I've always appreciated, like, going to Mike's shows, you know, and support him. I think, like, him kind of just, like, running Stance Wars himself is, like, crazy in, like, a good way to run, like, something that big, especially, you know, 8 years ago when it was huge, to do shows in Seattle and do shows in, like, New Jersey. They did a show in, like, Vegas. They did a show, I want to say, maybe in Texas. So it's like, it was like him and, like, you know, his wife helps out with stuff, his kids help out with stuff, and then he's got, like, his staff, you know, of people, you know, that run things. And, like, I appreciated that because, like, my dad owns businesses and I've always watched him run businesses kind of just by himself or, like, with the family, you know. And so to see him run something on that level was, like, pretty cool to watch. So, I mean, I hope Stance Wars is good this year. This is the last one, you know, I'll be at for, you know, a couple of years probably. And I don't know if I'm going to photograph it. I think I'm going to try to just, like,
work
at Brandon's booth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just more chill. It's just like, it's a lot of work to shoot. I mean, it's literally a 12-hour day because normally the last 2 years I've shot it, I showed up at 9 a.m. for their meeting with all the volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm shooting until it ends at 9 p.m. And yeah, 12-hour day shooting is a long day. And
then you got to drive your ass back to Bremerton.
Drive back to Bremerton. You know, import
an hour now.
Hundreds of photos, you know. It's just a lot of work. And, but I also do that kind of to myself, too. Like, I'm the only media person there at 9.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just how I shoot. Like, I want to photograph. Like, if someone's going to hire me to shoot an event, I want to tell the story of everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to tell the story of people setting it up, you know, people having fun, like things you don't see. You know, no one else sees that.
Yeah. The calm before the storm.
Yeah, yeah, the calm before the storm, just setting everything up, because it's cool to capture how much goes into running some, like setting up something like that to that level. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you got, I mean, probably like 1,000 at least people that show up to that. So,
yeah,
it's cool to just capture the whole thing. And like, I overwork myself like that a lot, but it pays off, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have any other fun projects in the pipeline for future?
For the future? So I just shot this past weekend on Friday. I shot two. I'm not gonna go into detail. I don't want to release much. Oh
yeah, because you can't really. Yeah.
Two older British cars.
Yeah.
For Avance, for the magazine, for the summer magazine.
Mm-hmm.
The spring mag should be coming out soon, and I'll be able to post what I shot for that. And then I just got asked to shoot another article for the fall mag. And that one sounds pretty cool.
Nice.
Like 80s. Just say like 80s, 80s imports.
Like some retro type stuff.
Good retro stuff. I mean, I love retro stuff. So, you know, Carl was like, hey, this is like right up your alley.
You'll be in your element there. Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. But the one I just did on Friday, I shot all on film.
I heard.
Which was interesting and scary. I'm super scared to get those back. I should be getting those back in a couple days, but that was fun. And then, I mean, other projects that I have in the future, I'm shooting a wedding at the end of May, like a legit wedding. I shot one before, but it was, like, for a buddy of mine, and there was, like, 20 people there,
mm-hmm.
you know, quick at, the like, a setting, like, outside the courthouse in San Diego. And it was cool. It was fun. But this one is like a smaller like wedding, but like a lot of people at the reception. So it'll be,
mm-hmm.
it'll be different. And I hope the new camera's in before that, because it's got on camera flash. And yeah, trying to shoot people like in a dark reception mm-hmm. sucks. So like you need flash.
Can you adjust the flash to point to the ceiling?
On the new camera? No.
Yeah. Mm-mm. So I don't know much about wedding photographers, but I feel like most of them point upwards.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Be something for you to look into. I know. Well, that's your updates. We do have our Lotuses coming soon, possibly end of April-ish, maybe May.
That's when they go to auction?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, we're playing. We want to give us some time, get them up like a little before the start of the summer is the plan. And then we might have, I got notified, I have a family, a relative who does, there's a charity event called Golf of Ritaville in McCormick Woods at the golf course there.
I've golfed there once.
I have too a few times. So we might end up having a little Pacific Exotics booth over there.
I thought
it'd be kind of cool to set up shop there and bring like three exotics or something.
Yeah.
To have
bring something or there.
Yeah,
I feel like it'd be cool to do a live podcast there, but I don't know how other people, like it depends on, you know, the other people.
Yeah, I got a few things to figure out, because essentially the booths are going to be at each tee, and there will be literally people golfing through the entire thing, so they'll end up like at your event. So
yeah, and talking on a golf course is shameful.
Yeah, exactly. She said the lady who's helping me get a booth there, I won't have to worry about golf balls on people's windshields. That was my biggest worry. I'm like, okay, if we're setting up at a tee, like, how's this going to, I don't want to like bring a friend's SLS AMG and then bring it back without a window. like that's kind of,
I mean,
scary.
I wouldn't be golfing, so I think they're safe.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Same. But we'll see. That's not till July 19th. So we have some time to plan for that. That'd be fun. I just thought it'd be cool to have like a SLS AMG doors up on the green, because I feel like that is like the perfect car to have on a golf course.
Yeah.
Great. Like an old golfer, I can't speak, an old old golfer would drive one of those cars.
Yeah.
Or a Corvette.
Definitely a Corvette.
Definitely a Corvette. We could get a C4 in there.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. We'll have some planning. So, I think I think we're good there. I could discuss the car that I was looking at last night. I don't really know if we want to. Tesla Model 3.
No, you won't. Oh, no.
So we'll run through this quick.
You should have given like a disclaimer. Like, hey, Nick Fischetta, if you're listening, turn it off.
To peel the Band-Aid. Throttle House posted a video of comparing the new Model 3 to the pre-facelift Model 3. You can get a pre-facelift Model 3 for $20K now. Which was like...
cool.
As a daily... like, I would not... no, it wouldn't replace anything. But like...
yeah.
Just to drive to the gym and back every day.
I mean, you don't even have to drive it.
Yeah. For $20K, I don't have to deal with oil changes.
Yeah.
It was like... somewhat kind of appealing.
I mean, hey.
Maybe someday.
Just do it when I'm not here.
Yeah. After you leave for Kuwait. Like you might come back and I might be an EV owner.
Yeah, I don't know. I think whenever I come back, I mean, that's even if I'm going. I'm not even confirmed going. But if I come back, I would definitely like to get something and just do what I want to do to it,
like a GR
off. I wouldn't do much to a GR. Like, honestly, if I got a GR nowadays, I would lease it because, like, I wouldn't want to do anything with it. It's already done.
Yeah,
like I don't need. Well, I think
the only thing you would need to do is a different diffuser and exhaust setup.
So yeah,
you can just have them in the middle.
Yeah, it's a little whack. I don't know.
But even then, like, there's rules against leasing where, like, you can just reverse it and return it.
Yeah, I mean, they probably never know.
No.
I don't know. I don't know much about that.
Yeah.
Who knows? But, yeah, GR Corolla would be fun.
Well, solid episode. Where can the listeners find you on socials?
Watch all my reels.
Yeah. Yeah, all those.
At Perspective. Not with a P, with a B, because my name's Beck. But, yeah, I mean, Facebook, Instagram. I think my YouTube is Perspective. I have some plans for YouTube, hopefully this year. Not a lot. I'm not going to go crazy, but I think it'd be fun to document some shoots, you know, like BTS stuff, like Cannon Beach. I had some recording done.
I need to get my passport.
Get your passport. You're just reminding me that. So we can go back to Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Facebook, Instagram, X, Twitter.
Twitter.
Yeah. For the millennials, Twitter.
For everyone. I don't think anyone's calling it X.
Yeah, I even get emails from them, and it just says X, formerly Twitter. That's what they say, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
You go on the ferries, and they still have their little Twitter icon on the walls.
Do they?
Yeah.
The bird?
Yeah.
Nice.
Marques Brownlee still has his Twitter, and he's done an interview with Elon.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, no. Yeah, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube,
yeah.
Twitter.
We'll link everything below.
At Perspective.
Yeah.
Follow along with the journey.
Yeah.
It's been a wild ride so far. So,
yeah, we'll see who's on. I don't know who's going to be on the next episode. We got to get Brandon on here.
Yeah, Brandon definitely needs to be on here. I think you should get another mic and do just like a group one. I think that'd be fun.
That's a plan. This interface only allows for two. I want to buy Rode Makes interface where you can do four, and then you don't have to have it hooked up to the computer. You can just throw a micro SD or an SD card in there.
Oh, there's the right on
just
there.
Just right on there. And then it's cool. Got like a board of buttons so you can like install sounds and stuff. So you can have like little sound effects, like a Discord. Just for like a fun, like if you had an intro sound or like a game segment, which we also still need to figure out.
Game segment?
Yeah.
Like do a game?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Well, with the Jack episode, if anyone actually made it through the Jack episode.
I tried.
We did a little segment where he had like a deck of cards it looked like Forza Horizon 2 business cards.
Okay.
But they had like the entire inventory. They had like a car on each card, and it was the entire inventory from Forza Horizon 2, just a big deck of cards. And we'd pull a card and basically play 21 questions to figure out.
Which car it was,
yeah. The last one I kind of felt stupid because he was like, it has orange accents and orange wheels. And it took me forever to figure out that it was a Bugatti Veyron Supersport. I thought it was like a Citroen because was a Citroen with those. But, yeah, we'll figure out a fun little game segment for our guests at some point. But, yeah, that would be fun to have three or even four people on a podcast at some point. We could have you, Travis, and Tyler.
Like a literal professionals.
We could, yeah. Yeah, we could. The ones who show up. Anyway,
disclaimer, Nick Fasquet, turn this off.
And no, with that, kidding. We're out of here. Catch you guys next week. Bye. That was a wild ending.